gritty Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Cogg.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. Kevin, it's good to see you.
Good to see you again.
This is like 2 weeks in a row. We haven't gotten to this point in a while.
Yeah, and we'll break it again because you're going out to South by Southwest.
Exactly. I will be gone next week and the week after. We'll be in sunny Austin, Texas, eating barbecue.
You're not going to be watching movies. You'll just be there eating barbecue.
I really wasn't planning on seeing too many movies.
What a fat guy thing to do, man.
Well, I'm taking Brian, so I'm going to make him do all the work, and I'm going to eat the barbecue.
Ooh, okay.
I mean, that's why I'm the boss around here.
Okay. Okay, whatever.
Yes, and, you know, speaking of me, I am here to review movies with you.
Yes, you actually saw...
I did. I saw
two.
A lot of movies.
Two.
But before we get to that, let's get how you can get a hold of us. You can catch us on fatguysatthemovies.com. You can also go over to iTunes and search Fat Guys at the Movies. We pop right up. If you'd like to email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And if you'd like to give us a call, please do give us a call. 614-388-8735, 614-388-TREK. All you Trekkies out there.
Did that person from L.A. ever start leaving a message?
No, it was weird. It's still weird, like, just
is
breathing.
It a collection
it's just breathing.
Breathing?
Somebody's calling us and just breathing.
That's so cool.
It's creeping me out. Because it was like 10 more messages
this
week.
Does it sound like a guy breathing or a girl breathing?
It might be Lindsay Lohan.
It could be, or it could be like Sandra Bernhardt.
Or it could be Sandra Bernhardt, which, you know, I mean,
could
that
be
could
be either one, I guess.
Really could go either way.
No, that's right.
You know, but I doubt Sandra Bernhardt would be calling two fat dudes. Because, I mean, I could see
she
if it was
like...
She
used to go after Jay Leno, man.
I could see if it was like fat chicks at the movies. Whatever. Sandra Bernhardt would be all about it.
Okay.
So, but anyways, let's get to these movies.
That's our sister
here.
Show. What any fat chicks out there like to see movies?
Oh, there's plenty of fat chicks out there.
There you go. Neil's endearing himself
Trust
to
me.
Women of the world. Now, while we talk about women of the world, let's talk about our first film. The Other Boleyn Girl.
No fat chicks here.
No. Not even a fat king, even though he should be. In this one, the royal Tudor family in the 16th century gets the Jerry Springer treatment as Anne and Mary Boleyn vie for the affection of King Henry VIII.
An opportunity has arisen to be mistress of the King of England. You could secure for this family incalculable wealth and position.
Do I have a choice?
No.
It's done. Tonight.
Try to please him, if you can.
One sister followed the rules.
I didn't betray you, you do know that.
The other defied them.
Sisters, and therefore born to be rivals.
Scarlett Johansson and Natalie Portman.
And
is there
yeah.
any better reason to see this movie?
I could go into better reasons to see this movie, but I'd probably get kicked off the air for that.
Right, I understand.
Yeah, but I mean, especially when you put Scarlett Johansson and
oh, yeah.
Natalie Portman. They're both very attractive women.
I must say, though, in defense of the fact that I've not seen this movie, you wanted to record a day early, and my screening is not until tomorrow.
Well,
so I would have seen this film, and I will see this film by the weekend. But since we're recording a little early this week,
just whatever
no
you
shot.
Do, when Natalie Portman and Scarlett Johansson show up on screen, do not stand up in the middle of the theater and yell, "Take it off, babes."
It didn't work last time, so I doubt it would work this
yeah,
time.
Yeah, because they can't hear you. Yeah. I'm sure if they heard you, they would, but they can't. Anyways.
The last time they heard me, they did.
This is based on a book, and it's based,
some
just based
are,
on the history.
I'm told.
And it's a very popular book, spawned several sequels. This one is basically sort of like all the weird sort of dysfunctional white trash stuff that happened in the Tudor family around Henry VIII's reign.
Right.
Now, Henry VIII, who we all remember as the big fat guy with the turkey leg in all the pictures.
Right.
Is played by Eric Bana.
Who's not a fat guy at all.
Although, man, I want that. He's got the coats.
If people would consider Eric Bana a fat guy, we would then be Brad Pitt 1 and Brad Pitt 2.
That's right.
Because he's a good-looking dude.
Angelina Jolie's starting to get fat herself because she's got a baby bump, or her publicist denies it. But then again, Jamie Lynn Spears' publicist denied her baby bump.
She is so pregnant. I saw her at the Oscars. Like, you can't get around that, man.
When you're as skinny as she is, you can't avoid it.
Exactly.
You look pregnant. Because
I mean, if you got pregnant, we'd never know.
I'd hide it for months.
Yeah, never.
But, you know,
I mean,
it's like
you could like spit that kid out, and we wouldn't have ever known.
Angelina Jolie could eat a grape whole, and she'd look pregnant. Because that's how skinny she is.
Especially if it was a seedless grape.
Okay. That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't have
even
to.
Even the double entendre at all.
I am one half of this show. My stuff doesn't have to make sense because yours does.
Well, thank you. Can I get? I got that on tape now, apparently.
Yes. I will write that down and sign it.
Incidentally, for the other Boleyn girl, I actually liked the movie. It started out, it's funny because I had the opposite view of all the other critics I saw. They're like, oh, this looked like a nice costume drama type thing, blah, blah, blah. And then it sort of deteriorates into this, you know, sordid affair where,
right,
you know, you've got, you know, people having sex with other people and then all this weird stuff going on just so Henry VIII could have a male heir.
Right.
And I was, that's when I got interested because I'm like, wow, look at that. They may live in a castle, but it's a trailer, I'll tell you, man. It's crazy.
And we all know how fond you are of trashiness.
I kept expecting people to stand up in the audience and go, yo, you know, you should just get some respect for yourself. And then the audience start cheering. And Jerry Springer running around the microphone.
And what's that? What's the guy, hit the stage guy's name on Jerry Springer?
Oh, the big bald guy?
The big bald guy.
The security? I forget.
God, he was
I don't
so
watch great. It really all
Steve,
that much.
Steve? Our Steve? Producer Richard chimes in with Steve.
Yes, because he kind of looks like Steve with hair.
Yeah, we definitely need a Steve in this movie.
Yeah, that would have made it perfect.
Steve.
But
Steve,
I give this movie
Steve,
a kind
I remember this.
See, you watched Jerry Springer.
I used to watch Jerry Springer. He's from Ohio. Why wouldn't you?
He paid for a prostitute with a check.
Hey.
How brilliant can the guy be?
Hey, we've all done it.
Okay. If you say so. Anyways, I'm going to give the other Boleyn girl a kind of rocks because, you know, it went somewhere that like stuff like Becoming Jane didn't go to.
Right.
Although Atonement sort of went there.
Yeah. We just needed Anne Hathaway to get nakeder in Becoming Jane.
Okay. Well, she wasn't naked. She wasn't even, there wasn't even a little bit of naked.
We need nakeder.
Yes.
That's my new term. Nakeder.
There you go.
Cool. Moving on.
Speaking of nakeder.
Or not.
Diary of the Dead. George Romero is back with more zombies told from a Blair Witch or now Cloverfield perspective.
Hi, my name is Jason Creed. I have been given the opportunity to be able to document the events that have suddenly landed in my lap.
Jason always wanted to be a documentary filmmaker. That's what he was shooting on that first night, the night when everything changed.
None of us know exactly what has caused the chaos.
Most people have fled for their lives. Some sort of Armageddon.
Two news agencies are reporting accounts of the dead returning to life.
Now, Neil, have you ever seen a dead movie?
Have I ever seen a dead movie?
Night of the Living
Dead. I've seen a couple movies that were dead from the beginning.
Dun-dun-dun.
Yeah.
No, not Night of the Living Dead.
I've never seen any of those. I saw the remake, the
Dawn of the Dead
Dawn
remake.
Dawn of the Dead remake by Zack Snyder.
With Oscar nominee Sarah Pauly.
Exactly. But I've never really gotten into a Romero movie, and this is actually a movie that I had a chance to see at Sundance. But I did not because there were a couple other things going on, and so I missed it. And I didn't hear good things about it. I didn't hear good enough things to draw me out. We all know my history with horror films. Mm-hmm. Not enough. It's not like 30 Days of Night where I heard, this is going to be awesome. The trailer got me all excited, and then I loved the movie. Nothing even made me want to go see this.
Yeah. Well, this one, I haven't seen it yet because they didn't screen it in Columbus.
Lame.
But I'm curious to see it. It's probably going to be one I like better, but I've never been a big fan of the dead. Excuse me. I've never been a big fan of the dead movies.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because I think we've kind of been there, done that.
Right.
And this one at least looks a little different. But, you know, George Romero, you are a talented filmmaker. There's other things you can do outside of the dead movies like Monkey Shines and Creepshow.
Okay.
But I'm cool. Going to say it's probably going to be okay.
All right, cool. Well, with that, we're going to a break. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We're rolling right through. We got two movies down, neither of which I've seen, one of which you saw.
Hey.
But the one I didn't see was totally your fault.
Okay, fine. I'm sorry.
That's just...
Well, no. Wait. Let me just...
Has nothing to do with the fact that you gave me the option.
This was screened on Monday.
Oh, man. You had to bring that up, didn't you?
And you overslept.
That's also true.
And what did you oversleep from? The Oscar party.
The Oscar party, which was a heck of a party, which we're
going to
talk about later in our internet-only segment.
Yeah, but you just like sat there live blogging through the whole thing.
So?
Did you just go home and like drown yourself in sorrows that Juno didn't win Best Picture or something
like
that?
I did. I went home and I drank the rest of that six-pack that I did not drink at the party. I only drank, you know, one-third of it, and then I drank the other two-thirds in like 4 minutes.
You live on the edge.
Because Ellen Page lost to... But she lost to Marion Cotillard, which... I have something to say about her later.
Yeah, that'll be in the internet-only segment.
Yes, and she's of age, too, so
Yeah, she's she's actually almost too old for you. I mean, she's what, 30-some?
It will be appropriate. That's all I need to say about that.
Marianne, call me.
Yeah, exactly. But let's get into our next round of movies, both of which I have seen. The first of which is the big movie of the weekend, I will say. Semi-pro.
You might call it that, yeah.
In this particular period piece, Will Ferrell rides again in his awesome 70s glory, this time as basketball coach and player Jackie Moon, desperately trying to save his basketball team from oblivion.
I am here with Flint Tropics' Jackie Moon. Jackie, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, Dick.
Jackie, I think a lot of people would describe tonight's loss as humiliating.
Oh!
Well, I don't know about that. We had a good time out there.
You did have fun.
How did you learn to play basketball?
I saw it on TV a couple times. I thought, I can do that.
My gosh, it's almost as though you're in some sort of a basketball trance.
It's a costume drama. That's all you can say. It's a costume drama.
It is a period piece. It's about the 70s.
We have Other Boleyn Girl. We have Semi-Pro. Both are take place in the past.
This is one of the funkiest movies you're going to see all year.
Hey, get the funk out of my face.
And here's what I have to say. This one really is simple to describe. If you like Will Ferrell doing characters.
Isn't Stranger Than Fiction World.
This isn't Stranger Than Fiction Will Ferrell. This isn't even like Ricky Bobby. I don't think Ricky Bobby was a character. It was kind of a caricature of Dale Earnhardt Jr., I think.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know,
More Dale Earnhardt.
I look at like old school, you know, Frank the Tank was just that wild college guy. So it wasn't a character, a deep character like Ron Burgundy. I think Jackie Moon is a lot like Ron Burgundy in the sense that it is a full-on Will Ferrell character from start to finish. I mean, he's done amazing advertisements with like
you're
Old
talking
Spice.
About this like he's like Daniel Day-Lewis.
He is, you know, Daniel.
Like, this dives is, into the character.
You know what? This is as close to Daniel Day-Lewis as Will Ferrell will ever get.
Does Will Ferrell drink your milkshake in this movie?
He drinks a lot of things in this movie. And he is every bit the jive turkey that he needs to be in this
film. Can you say that on the radio?
I think so.
Jive turkey? I don't think
I don't know what that means.
I'll bet you if Ima said it on the radio, he'd be kicked off the air.
Who'd be kicked off the air?
Imus.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's Don Imus. Screw him. but I will say this, and you can say whatever you want. It's
glop. That's what I wanted to say. I wanted to say glop.
It's raunchy. It's hysterical. It's
rated R.
It's basically an R-rated Anchorman set to the ABA basketball. I mean, I loved it, man. It was awesome.
It was good. What's funny about it is, it's not the most consistent of the Will Ferrell idiocy movies.
Yeah.
Definitely Anchorman was consistent. You got kind of the same movie throughout the whole thing.
Right.
There are times when it's just, it reminds me a lot of Grandma's Boy. Did you see Grandma's Boy?
No, not
I
yet.
I love Grandma's Boy.
I have it on DVD.
I'm a complete moron. But Grandma's Boy was one that it had just jokes that fell completely flat and went nowhere. And then it had jokes that just nailed it and were hilarious. And that's kind of the way Semi-Pro is. When it's on, it is on. But when it's off, it's sort of...
And I think it gets caught up in some of the more dramatic story. Like, there are some serious storylines in this film that, you know, like Woody Harrelson plays another player who, you know, is like chasing after this girl that he was with a long time ago. Yeah. And it, you know, it's just really not that funny.
Yeah. I mean, they do try to infuse a certain amount of heart to it that they don't need to. Kind of like 40-Year-Old Virgin did that very effectively.
Right.
This one just needed to be, but it's still a good movie.
It's still funny. Still very funny.
And it's all Will Ferrell. You can see where he improvs stuff out, and you can guess that's where he did just his general brilliance.
Absolutely ridiculous.
We can link to this on the show notes. Go to Film School Rejects. We got a little video of our press conference with Will Ferrell. And he talks about, you know, how he prepared to fight a bear.
Yes.
And, you know, how he uses cubed cheese on his diet to get such
it was actually where he starts every day with
cut
cubed
lean
cheese.
Body.
Yeah, he offered us some, but nobody was having it.
Yeah, he said he found it in the bathroom.
Well, I would have thought that we would have still ate it.
It was wrapped. I mean, it was sterile, so it can't. It maybe just somebody just left it there. I mean, it wasn't like
you never know. We were down on the Ohio State campus. You never know what you're going to find down there.
That's true.
Okay. Yeah. So, but let's give it a grade.
I say it rocks. Actually,
I say it totally rocks. I say this is if you've been waiting for a good Will Ferrell movie, this is a good weekend to go out, you know?
Depending on what you think of Will Ferrell, you can take that in different ways.
And here's the other thing I have to say. For those that didn't like Talladega Nights, you will be redeemed by seeing this film. I think it's better than Talladega Nights.
Talladega Nights did sort of, I don't know, it wasn't as full on Will Ferrell craziness as it could have been.
Right. And this one is.
Yeah. Imagine like all the stuff with Gary Cole and Will Ferrell from Talladega Nights. That's what you got.
The whole movie. And swearing. Lots of swearing.
Lots of swearing. I loved it. Lots of jive.
I love the R rating. It's great. Yeah. So, anyways, moving on to Penelope, which is a complete opposite film. Definitely not an R here. This one stars Christina Ricci as a darling pig-faced girl who can only break a curse by finding an aristocrat, or blue blood, who will accept her and love her for who she is.
My name is Penelope, and I was cursed to be born with the nose of a pig. My mother protected me from the outside world. But to break the curse, I just had to find someone to accept me as I am till death do us part. I was ready to give up. Then he walked in.
Hello?
Penelope, how about you and me heading down to the Cloverdale pub right now?
Penelope, come on. What are you waiting for?
You know, David Metzger from Bullseye.com, who I saw this movie with. Good friend Dave. We were the only ones in the theater. There's like maybe about six or other. I mean, seriously. It was like this huge theater.
Our screening was the same way.
Yeah, and it was like
20 people.
I don't know why people weren't there. It just wasn't marketed well. But he said to me afterwards, he's like, I don't know how anyone could seriously pull off being horrified by her, because she is just the most adorable girl.
And you know what I kept thinking while I was watching this movie? First of all, I love the little premise of this film. I mean, it's a very light, very cute fairy tale. It's one of those movies you could probably take a girl on a date to, and it wouldn't get all weird. And
well, it's definitely geared also for like the tween crowd. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, it's. I think that when you look at I don't know if it's advertised quite right, or I don't know if the awareness is out there.
I don't think it's advertised well at all. No.
Yeah, because it doesn't seem to feel like it's this PG movie that you could take a 12-year-old
girl
to.
It kind of looks like this almost serious type of movie, or just kind of adultish movie. It's more like Enchanted was last year, where it's just anybody can get into it, but it's really, really for that younger demographic.
Well, and the other thing is just. In general, it kind of has this sort of this darker feel because of the music. It sort of feels like it was like they borrowed a little bit of Tim Burton to design the movie, which is cool. But it's almost like it has this appearance of being a darker, heavier movie than it really is, because it really is just a cute little wholesome fairy tale.
Right. I think the other problem is that we've been waiting so long for this. This thing was done in 2006, and it's just now coming out. What amazes me is, A, the fact that Christina Ricci can go from being like white trash 90% naked girl in Black Snake Moan, and she was amazing in that film. Damn. And then go to this film where she's this cute, mid-20s. She was like, what, 25 in the movie?
I think,
pig face girl, and still just blow you away with how cute she can be. That she's got some range as an actress.
Yeah, she's a great little actress. And I remember back, people really took notice of her back when she was doing the Addams Family. But if you see a movie like Mermaids, which she was like, I don't know how old she was, like 6 or 7. I mean, she was really young in that one. But you could tell even then that she had the acting chops, and it carried it through. And she's beautiful now, and she looks great.
Yep.
And this movie isn't 100% on, but it does really work.
And I tell you who makes the movie. There are two people that make this movie besides Christina Ricci. Catherine O'Hara as her crazy mother.
Yes, she's good.
And our new favorite actor, Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage steals the show.
Steals every movie that he's in.
Yeah. Well, Peter Dinklage is great, because if you don't know who he is, he's a dwarf, and he has been in several movies like Living in Oblivion, and he was in Death at a Funeral. We'll talk about that later.
He was in Bruges.
In Bruges. No, I don't know. I don't think that was him.
That was him.
That was in a different kid.
Hold on.
Different guy.
I'll pull it up on IMDb.
I'm pretty sure it's a different guy. But the thing is with Peter Dinklage,
who's in the Chronicles of Narnia.
This is where, we used to have this big love fest for Vern Troyer, and I love Vern Troyer, but anytime you see Vern Troyer in a movie, he's playing a dwarf. Peter Dinklage can be in a movie
and play a totally normal person.
He has the chops to go beyond anything, and he's just a character. He's great. I give it a rocks.
I give it a rocks as well. Let's go to break.
Flowers lonely, I burn out slowly like a cigarette when you kiss me.
So, Neil, this weekend was the Oscars, actually. Not
really?
Yeah, it was. It was.
Wow, how did I miss that?
Which sort of stole the thunder for the weekend. And always the movies that release on Oscar weekend, let's just put it this way. The movies that release on Oscar weekend wouldn't be considered Oscar films.
Because they have Larry the Cable Guy in them.
Yeah, yeah. It's they're not movies. They're usually movies that you see in February. So
usually
it's,
movies that you would like, I've found.
Whatever, whatever. Anyway,
I'm so surprised you did not like the Larry the Cable Guy movie. I think we have to say something momentarily.
Let's talk about the Larry the Cable Guy movie because we couldn't actually review it
because
last week.
There's no way they were screening that movie for us.
But you know what? Here's my theory. And you know what? Lionsgate, if you're out there listening, take heed.
I doubt they're listening.
Take heed. Larry the Cable Guy, what was it called? It was called Witless Protection.
I don't remember what I paid.
You money.
Saw it like less than 5 days ago.
I paid $5 to see this movie because I saw it on a discount matinee. It came in 13th. It was so far off that it was below The Bucket List, which came out at Christmas.
Yeah, it came out before Christmas.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
It still was doing less than that. And there were four movies that opened, two of them got in the top 10. And Witless Protection, the reason I think that if they would have actually screened it, it would have actually been written about, and then people would have had a better awareness of it. But as it is right now, the only way you knew Witless Protection was out there is if you actually saw the ads on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't, or unless you, like me, got a Valentine's Day card from Larry the Cable Guy.
I got one from Larry. Yeah, that was a little creepy.
Really creepy. Didn't make me want to go see the movie. It kind of made me want to throw up.
Well, but see, the thing is with this movie is studios are so scared to screen it that they say, let's not screen it so we don't get bad reviews. The point is,
it doesn't matter.
People who are fans of Larry the Cable Guy aren't saying, oh my God, you know, Lulu Minnick from the New York Post didn't like this movie. I better not go see it. They don't care what the critics say, but at least
unless,
they know that there's a movie out
unless
there.
Unless they go to filmschoolrejects.com and they see, oh my God, Kevin Carr loved this movie, man. I got to go see this.
Well, I didn't
this is going to be great.
Well, I didn't give it a good review.
I know.
It was a suck, so.
They'd still be so confused.
This is the thing. This is the same thing with Strange Wilderness.
Upper echelon fans here.
Because so many people just didn't talk about it in the general public and in the media, no one was aware that it was out there.
Right.
Which is a little different than Charlie Bartlett, because you know that one was another one that completely tanked this weekend.
Which was very disappointing, because I think the marketing was just off on that. It was the same thing.
No,
they just didn't market it well enough.
This is my theory as to why Charlie Bartlett tanked so poorly. And I know this because when I was doing my radio interviews last week and I was reviewing it, there is no way to describe the movie without saying he's a drug dealer.
Right.
There
and
really
people
is
just,
no.
They don't dig unless it's like Boys in the Hood.
Well, but I mean, it's like if you're doing an urban drama,
that's okay.
And you've got kids that are drug dealers and they're dealing with that. That's sort of a fact of life. But this is a kid who uses his influence to get drugs and then pass them along to kids. Now, granted, it's stuff that these kids really should be prescribed.
Right.
But they just aren't getting it right. But every time I described it, I always heard hosts kind of going, oh, really? Oh, you're selling drugs in high school?
It's a hard sell for anybody. Even writing a review, it was a hard sell. What people don't realize about it is it's a film that really, really, really winds itself up well in the end.
Well, it rises above that.
Yeah, it does.
Earlier.
It rises above the drugs.
About halfway through, it gets past that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was its biggest thing to overcome because they were trying to put it say, oh, well, you know, you got drugs and then you got teen pregnancy because Juno's $130 million. It's awards and everything. And while I think Juno was a far superior movie, Charlie Bartlett was of the same ilk, so to speak.
Yeah.
But I think people can be like, okay, so you're pregnant. That doesn't mean that you're running around sleeping with every guy. It could have been one indiscretion, which is actually the Juno story.
One time.
But Charlie Bartlett was a guy who specifically, he was doing fake IDs at his old school and all that kind of thing. So that's why I think those things suffered so poorly.
Yeah. But I will say, if Charlie Bartlett's still playing in your area, go see it. It's a really good movie.
Yes. Neil supports drug use.
I support selling drugs as well. I support teenagers and drugs.
Well, if they're prescribed, right?
If they're prescribed.
Okay.
Of course.
Making sure Neil's not, you know, getting in trouble here.
You know, whatever, man.
We've had some complaints about Neil.
We have had some complaints about Neil all the time.
You'd be
so
surprised. You'd
anyways,
think the complaints would be about me.
They used to be. And then, well, we don't even want to talk about the incidents we've had since then. But the big winner of last week was Vantage Point, which, despite being the most incoherent film out there.
Did you even see it?
No,
this you can't talk about it.
This is what I gather.
It's not incoherent. They showed you the same thing a dozen times. How could it be incoherent?
Anyways, it won. Spiderwick Chronicles was number two. Jumper still's hanging around. Forget all that. Oscar weekend is such a wash. Let's talk about this weekend.
Yes.
The Oscar hangover weekend. So we've got, here's a twist. Semi-Pro is going to be your widest release this weekend. No Country for Old Men is jumping up by 900 theaters. I predict No Country for Old Men in the top five after its Best Picture win.
Oh, I think it's absolutely no possible. Absolutely. Well, you know, wins Best Picture, won what, four awards?
Yeah. So Semi-Pro is, it absolutely should, based on all the marketing. I mean, this thing's been all over like ESPN.
Semi-Pro is going to crush
it. Should
everything.
Just absolutely obliterate everybody else. Yeah. At least we can only hope.
I'm thinking around 30 million. Probably.
I'm thinking, yeah, plus 30 plus. You know, I mean, it'll have a fantastic weekend if it does 40. Fantastic. Oh, yeah. Like, just
and you have a shot with that simply because there's nothing. The only other wide release really is that's a holdover from last year would be Vantage Point. The other movies are only in like a third of the theaters.
Oh, yeah. So, and Spiderwick's still out there, but I think Penelope's going to kind of take a little bit of Spiderwick's.
After seeing how few people were at the screenings, and, you know, it's if you can't at least fill half a theater with a free movie, there's something going weird.
So, I don't know. Semi-Pro is you know, easy one. All
right,
cool.
But I think you're right. No Country's going to squeak in there. And I think the predictions I'm hearing is like a couple million, you know, like in the bottom five. I think it's going to... Mm-hmm. I think the fact that it won the Oscars and it became...
Right. You know, it validated.
It's now on the radar screen of some people.
Right. It's on people that weren't paying attention before.
Yeah.
You know? So, cool. So, there you go. There's the box office. It is time to sound off.
Yee!
Is that the new sound effect?
I don't know. I have no idea. All right, we haven't gotten our sound effects in because Richard's lazy.
So, we've got two trailers to talk about. We just watched them... Just a little while ago, they just popped up online. A second trailer for Get Smart and the trailer, speaking of Will Ferrell, for Step Brothers, which stars Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. Let's start with Get Smart because I really only have one thing to say about this.
More nakedness for Anne Hathaway?
Well, she's in her underwear.
Or nakeder.
Nakeder.
There could be nakeder. In underwear, not as good as like Brokeback Mountain and Havoc.
Right, exactly.
She's actually naked.
But I will say this. When I interviewed Peter Siegel at Comic-Con, I was pumped for this movie. I was like, this is going to be awesome. Action comedy, Steve Carell, Anne Hathaway's hot. Let's do it, you know? And then when I saw that the first two trailers, there was one with him in the phone booth, and there was one with them showing some action shots, just all the air came out of my excitement. It just deflated.
So it was the opposite of what happened with Iron Man?
Exactly, because every Iron Man trailer that's come out, it's been like,
look, it's Iron Man poo. Aren't you excited? It's poo from Iron Man. I'm like, okay.
But I was so deflated, and I tell you what, this trailer brought me right back into the fold. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. It looks like they're, you know, I mean, it's directed by the guy who made Tommy Boy. I mean, it can't be that serious.
Well,
you know?
The thing is...
It's got a great cast.
The only thing that worries me about this movie is... I want to see it in the spirit of the original Get Smart show.
Right.
And I'm hoping they don't deviate too much from it.
Right.
And I mean, it's a really hard thing for Steve Carell to do because on one hand, you got to make the character your own, but you don't want it to just become the
Don
guy
Adams,
from The Office again. Yeah,
or,
but you also don't want him to do a caricature of Don Adams.
Right. And I think the fact that Mel Brooks is producing the film, it has helped it because I'm seeing more and more and more Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks hasn't always been the mark of quality.
Well, I mean, he's the one who did the original show.
Well, yeah, he is. I mean, yeah, but he also did the producers on theaters.
So, you know.
But at least they didn't get Matthew Broderick to play.
Yeah, he's better Max here, Smith. Okay?
Okay.
That's musical, that's Broadway. This is Mel Brooks'
no
thing.
No music at all.
So.
If Peter Dinklage was in this movie.
He might be.
He might be. Who knows? He may show up. He's showing up. He's like what... Clive Owen was a couple years ago. It just shows up in everything.
And you're just like, I like it. Peter Dinklage. So, but Ken Devishan's in it. The fat guy from Borat.
The one that they refer to in Meet the Spartans as, hey, he looks like the fat guy from Borat. Because he is the fat guy.
Because he is the fat guy from Borat. Anyways, but I want to get your reaction on the Step Brothers trailer.
This looks funny. Yeah. And as a parent, it's even funnier. I mean, you can figure it out. Like, there's a scene where they're putting up bunk beds and they're like, can we make bunk beds? It's the greatest night in the world. But my kids do that. They're like, hey, can we do this? And they're like, yeah, sure. And they go do it. And then all of a sudden you hear a crash in their room and one of them screaming. And then you come in there and you find out that, like,
the bunk bed fell on one of them.
Yeah, the entire house fell on top of them. And there's also, oh, there's a thing from Get Smart where there's a kid yelling at his mom from the backseat. That, again, as a parent.
The best part, though, about the stepbrothers thing is that you're looking at it, and it is a movie that is basically about two children, but it's Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly as the children.
Because they're so totally socially retarded.
So maladjusted. I love it. And I read the script, and I thought it was awesome.
Well, and the thing is, this trailer looks like it was made for Jonah Hill and Michael Cera.
Yep.
And then they were busy doing something else. And they're like, well, let's just get
Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly.
Let's get the Fro Bros and we'll get them to do it. And they just didn't change it.
Nice. Cool.
And Ann Archer looks pretty hot in it, too.
She's always good. I like Ann Archer. Yeah. So let's move on. We've got Steven Spielberg. The rumor has come out that he's not going to screen Indiana 4 in digital.
Well, you know what? How many digital screens are there in the country?
I don't know. Not a whole lot. Not enough.
I mean, they look great. But you know what? Unless it's like a movie to be seen for visual effect, like we saw Transformers digitally projected, right, and it looked great.
And that's, I think, what I said to somebody earlier today was, it's not Star Wars, it's not Transformers, it's Indiana Jones. It's not special effects heavy. It's
action heavy.
It's set pieces and it's action and it's a little bit of comedy and it's Harrison Ford's wrinkliness.
Yeah. You don't need to see that.
And we don't need that in digital. So no big deal. I know, just reading the comments online, people are very upset about this. They really don't have much reason to be.
There's what, 17 of these theaters in the country?
Yeah. There's more than that.
18.
I don't know. There's one here in town. No, there's two here in town.
There's two. Yeah. Because that's what they're shooting. Basically, let's put it this way. There's probably like about 600 or 700 because wherever the Miley Cyrus video or movie was shown, that's where that was all the digital projected.
That particular movie did very well. So moving on, next topic here.
Yeah, little girls going to see Miley Cyrus.
Please, I don't want to talk about it. Remember the complaints. Okay. The last topic I had was that Barack Obama came out this week and said that if he was in an interview, he didn't like come out and make a statement. He said that if a movie came out about him, he would want Will Smith to play him. Kevin, who would you want to play you in a movie?
Oh, first I have to say this was a no-duh thing because he's like, let me take the most popular black guy ever in Hollywood. I want him to play me. I think Tony Cox, the dwarf from Bad Santa.
Should play you?
No, he should play Barack
Obama. Who's going to play you, though?
Oh, we got to go to a break. We'll talk about it in the next segment.
All right, cool.
If you're on the radio, go to the internet and you'll hear us. All right, so in the last segment, if you didn't hear, we were talking about Barack Obama wanting to get Will Smith to play him in a movie.
Right.
He had a whole press conference for us.
I would think he'd go for Denzel Washington because he's more prestigious than Will Smith. Will Smith's just like...
How old is Barack Obama?
He's in his, what, 40s?
Yeah. So, well, he sort of splits their ages, I guess, because Denzel's older, 50s, something like that.
He could have Sly Stallone play him.
That would be awesome.
Or Peter Dinklage as
Barack
Obama.
That's what I was going to say. Peter Dinklage could play anybody. But I'll tell you, not Tony Cox. Peter Dinklage would play me. That's just the way it is.
Peter Dinklage would play you?
Peter Dinklage could play me and Tony, and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And they could have a big smackdown.
If I was thinking about this. I think about this a
lot. No, I got to finish though.
All right, go ahead.
Really, who do I want to have play Barack Obama?
No, not Barack Obama.
Barack Obama should be played by Tilda Swinton.
Credited as David Bowie.
I mean, they could literally just project the photo negative of Tilda Swinton and you'd have Barack Obama.
Oh, we've gone off the deep end.
It's the internet segment. I can say whatever I want to, Jive Turkey.
Who would play you?
Can I pick who would play you?
No. This is... All right, fine.
Who should play you?
Who would play me?
Sandra Bernhardt.
Sandra Bernhardt. You know who would play you?
Who?
Carrot Top. That's right. So, but anyways, if you got to choose who played you in the Fat Guys at the Movies movie.
The Fat Guys at the
Movies. That's what it would be called.
A big motion picture event.
Big motion picture event.
Big fat motion picture event.
Big fat drunken movie. That's what it's going to be called.
Gosh, you know, I don't know. Who could play me? The Rock? The
Rock. I was thinking more like Frank Caliendo. Could play
Who's
you.
That guy?
The comedian. The guy who does John Madden.
Well, the guy
on
who
Mad
does
TV.
Like all the impressions.
Yeah,
he doesn't even do me.
I'm sure he could do. Dude, he could do an impression of anybody.
Can we get in touch with him and tell him that if he can
do a
impression
do
of me?
Kevin Carr.
then. I've never heard anyone do it. I'm not famous enough to have somebody do an impression of me.
Yeah.
I can't wait until I am. just so nice. I can hear people doing impressions of me.
Nice. So this is...
You think Frank Caliendo
I think Frank Caliendo.
I think Jesse the Body Ventura should play me.
Yeah, he's a little taller than you probably.
Well, he's got the bald head and the goatee.
Fair enough.
And I look just as good naked, I'm sure.
Okay. So, but here's mine. It's not Sandra Bernhardt. It would either be Ben Affleck.
Or Thandie Newton.
Or Thandie Newton. Or I think
Ben Affleck?
I think I would want Jon Favreau to play me.
I could see Jon
Favreau. Favs could pull that off.
Didn't we say like almost a year ago about how much you look like Alphonse Roberto from The Fresh Prince? And that totally relates to the Barack Obama story.
Carlton Banks? Because he was in Fresh Prince.
Will Smith. Although was, I do...
That was the headline that I put on Film School Rejects for the story. It said, Barack Obama endorses The Fresh Prince.
You know, no, I think I'll give you who was the second one you said?
Favreau. Jon Favreau.
Favreau. I think
who directed Iron Man.
I know.
Iron Man, dude. Yeah.
But see, you couldn't have, this is why you couldn't have Favreau.
Why?
Because then Vince Vaughn would have to play me.
No, Vince Vaughn would play Richard.
Actually, Vince Vaughn could play Richard.
Yeah. See, and Richard's happy about that.
Put your arms down, dude. I think actually Ben Savage could play.
Ben Savage?
Okay. Ben Savage from Boy Meets World.
What about Shia LaBeouf?
Shia LaBeouf would have to gain some weight.
Yeah.
And grow a beard.
Yeah.
Which I don't believe he's capable of doing. And he'll gain weight.
Not the beard, though.
Not as much as you have.
I think that Megan Fox should play my love slave.
I think Megan Fox should play my beard.
Your beard?
I would audition her. I would totally audition her.
All right, get on my face.
Again. Who's next? Tilda Swinton. Oh, my Lord.
But speaking of hot people, Marion
Cotillard. I was talking about Tilda Swinton. We're totally not speaking of hot people.
No, Megan Fox. I skipped over Tilda Swinton. I forgot about David Bowie a long time ago.
You know, if Tilda, well, we'll talk about that in the Oscar wrap-up.
Well, that's what we're doing right now.
Are we doing the Oscar?
I was going to say, speaking of hot people, what about Marion Cotillard?
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the Coen brothers.
The Coen brothers look good too, man.
Dude, you are so weird.
First of all, let me tell you the two sexiest people that won Oscars on Oscar night.
Obviously not the girl from Atonement, so.
Or the one that won costume design.
Wow, the worst dress ever.
Yeah.
It's like this old woman who.
No makeup, nothing. Yeah,
it's like I know how to design costumes, but I can't dress myself.
But I'm wearing a muumuu, so screw all of you people, okay?
Are you going to talk
this
about.
This is a Versace muumuu.
Yes, are we going to talk about Diablo Cody?
Three now, because I have to include Diablo Cody.
I would have so gotten a lap dance from her.
as would I. But number one was Marion Cotillard.
She looked good.
And
she had an orgasm during her speech.
She literally has an orgasm on stage as she's accepting her award.
She's like, oh, I'm speechless. Then why are you still talking? That's what I want to know.
Well,
maybe secondly, she was just saying she was speechless. She didn't write a speech because she didn't think she'd win.
Right. I don't think that anybody thought they were going to win in that category besides, I mean, Julie Christie.
Julie Christie had her cards all set up and she's like, God, and she threw it and smacked. She was sitting like right behind Jack Nicholson.
Nice.
She probably punched
him
in
his
face.
Bald head and his glasses fell off. And he's like, hey, man.
That's why he wasn't wearing glasses, a different pair of glasses when he came up to present.
Exactly. But the second sexiest person to win an Oscar was Javier Bardem.
You're
and I know I've
so
mentioned
gay.
My huge man crush on Javier Bardem, but when he does not have that, you know, fourth Hanson brother haircut going on,
when he's not like
he
Moe
is
Howard,
a good looking dude.
Dude, would you make him speak Spanish to you while he's taking you?
Maybe. And you know what? The tribute to his mother, very sweet. I thought.
I want to know what he said. Did you ever find out?
He said something about horses. I don't know.
He's like, Bob, thank you. I'm hung like a horse. They bleeped him. They bleeped him for something. Or either that or it was Dave's TV. We're over at David Metzger's house watching this.
Yeah.
It may have been the TV.
I don't know. Maybe they bleeped. Maybe the director or the producer, whoever's working the soundboard.
He's like, I can't speak
Spanish.
Had
no idea what it was, so he just kind of hit bleep in the middle there.
He starts speaking Jawa, and he doesn't have his translation book out, so they just bleep him anyways.
So, but I thought that was cool. I thought that was cool. And then, of course, Diablo Cody looked fantastic in her $1 million shoes.
She looked great. Why were her shoes $1 million?
I don't know. They're made out of, like, something that Did PETA, Jesus? Something that PETA wouldn't approve of, I'm sure.
God, what was it? The last living ferret in some...
like dodo bird bone or something.
Made out of aborted fetuses.
Those liberals in Hollywood. Wow. I tell
you. You know what I loved about her dress, aside from the fact that it just, you know, was just showed her legs? Mm-hmm. She's grabbing it at the crotch as she's walking, because I don't think she realized it would flow as much. But right. She used to be a stripper, so why is she worried about giving an international audience an upskirt shot? Unless she's not wearing panties. I mean, was she pulling a Britney?
Who knows? I don't know. Might not have been wearing anything. We were just imagining a dress.
That's because of the devil on her arm. It had me. Yeah.
But I tell you what, it's cool to see. You know what? In a world where I think we all criticize the Academy for being stuffy and mm-hmm. old, and you know, you can smell the embalming fluid coming from the Academy.
Especially that guy was 98 years old giving a speech.
To see someone get up there with a big tat on her arm and receive her Oscar was pretty cool. You know, yeah, and then to see the Coen brothers get up there and be like, "Yeah, thanks." And well, then the just walk off into the sunset.
The Coen brothers, awesome. Between the Coen brothers and Daniel Day-Lewis, just goes to show you that just because you make movies,
right,
you're not going to do well in a live audience.
Right, right, yeah. And Daniel Day-Lewis,
the worst acceptance speech ever. I can't.
And also, he's not like that compelling of a person. Like on the red carpet, he's just like, he looks like
somebody you could just go blink and make him knock him off. And he has those two earrings that you can, and you keep expecting him to talk like a speak and say, like, a horse goes, bah, whatever.
Speaks.
Well, he's Irish. Everything's a sheep.
But I tell you what, though. You know what, though? When he says he's an oil man, we all agree.
When he says he'll drink your milkshake.
I'm an oil man.
I was really upset.
I think you'll agree.
That
they didn't use that line in any of the montages.
Well,
or anything.
John Stewart didn't come out with a milkshake or anything like that.
Oh, man. He missed it. But I will say this, since you brought up John Stewart, he did a much better job his second time around.
Yeah.
I thought he had some, you know, there were some good jokes. I thought the montage.
Did he host last year?
No, it was Ellen last year, and he was before Ellen.
Okay.
And they skipped him 1 year. And.
He at least with jokes. Ellen, they didn't like dance at the beginning.
Right.
That would have sucked.
I thought the montage about binoculars and bad dreams. Hilarious. I thought it was a very cool, classy move to bring the girl from Once back out on this.
I don't think that in the defense of the people who are running the show, I don't think it was Jon Stewart who demanded that. It's just he was the one who was able to take credit.
Right.
Because as I understand it, the director was like, what I understand happened was when what's his name, the Irish dude,
Colin Farrell?
No.
Glenn Hansard?
Yeah. When he comes up to give his speech, he speaks, and when they're done, the director cues the music, not thinking, because he's you know, all, like, freaked out, because, you know, Regis pointed out that there are, like, 200 countries or whatever.
Because he was freaked out, because Regis was freaking everybody out the pre-show.
And
good job, Reg.
And then when the like, Eastern European chick was going to speak,
yeah,
it's just they started playing before. It wasn't like they were cutting her off.
Yeah, and they couldn't stop.
Yeah, and once it starts going, it's going. Yeah. And I think that behind the scenes, they made that decision.
Yeah.
But it looked like Jon Stewart saved
You know what? I no matter who it was, I think that was the right move to do. Because, you know, that, man.
Although she did take a little too long to do her speech.
That's fine.
Because then she takes like 2 minutes.
But I tell you what, their speeches, like Glenn Hansard's speech was great. Was one of the better ones of the entire night.
At least you didn't sing it.
Right. But not as good as Ethan Coen just getting up and saying, well, I don't have anything to say after the last time, so thanks.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I mean, you're accepting the award for what, best director? No big deal.
Yeah. And they didn't even get to speak for best picture. Didn't Scott Rudin
got up there? Well, I mean, they were up there twice. They adapted screenplay and best director. So.
Was that the first time that people have won in all three of those categories?
I don't know.
What good are you, Neil Miller?
I don't have the statistics in front of me. So, anyways, but I thought overall, good show.
Too long.
I mean, it was too long because of the stupid. Like, we don't need to see the posters from every single Best Picture.
Every single. Or the guy. You know, they got to just screw that whole Lifetime Achievement Award because this 98-year-old guy who nobody knew who he was got up there and was like, I'm going to talk for like 10 minutes.
Right.
And just try and play me off.
And I might die.
Not only am I getting a Lifetime Achievement Award, so screw you. I'm 98 years old, and I'm wetting myself as I'm doing the speech. And what are you going to do? Have Nicole Kidman tackle me and drag me off?
Did you see the picture I put up of him on the site?
No.
There was a picture of him and Nicole Kidman, and she was like staring at his back. And I the caption I put was, "Yes, I'm 98 years old, but look, Nicole Kidman's still checking out my ass."
That's awesome.
So
no, I think what this is what I and I said this on Film School Rejects. If you go to Film School Rejects, you can read my weekly column, my WTF column, and find out what I think is the cure. If you want to get 100 million people watching the Oscars, this is what you do. You make it an hour long first, and you advertise that it's only going to be an hour long, and we'll get through all the categories. You give everybody 30 seconds, no more, no less, for a speech. And if they take too little, just keep the camera on them and make them feel uncomfortable.
Right, because they go in the press, they go in the press tent anyways, and speak for like 45 minutes.
Yeah, and so you give, you do that whole thing, and you make it an hour long, and you have like Gary Busey or like
Andy Dick
be the host. And just because you know crazy shit's going to happen. That's all there is to it.
And you feed them drinks for like 3 days before that.
You give them a whole cart of Jägermeister. And then what they'll do is they'll come out and like Andy Dick will be like, "Yeah, hey, Jack Nicholson in the front row, you're going to come up here and do a drinking keg stand with me." And that's what it would be as they're playing the Oscar clips. That would be the best show ever.
There's just too much class in the Oscars, I think.
Well, they take themselves too seriously. And they're like, the guy comes up and is like, "Oh, I think everyone wants to know how we count the ballots at Pricewaterhouse."
Nobody gives a shit.
No. And it was the worst instructional video I've ever seen in my life.
And it was like the dumbest. I mean, he's like, goes up to the door and he's like, "Oh my God, why can't I get in? But I'm Sid Gannis." Well, nobody gives a flying fuck that you're Sid Gannis, okay? All right? No. First of all, at that point, nobody's paying attention anyways. And those of us who were highly offended because it was like reading Rainbow in the middle of the fucking Oscars.
Yeah, it felt like you were like getting a job at like Microsoft and they're like,
"Exactly.
Here's how you punch a time card.
Let's look at how Bill Gates goes to work. Oh, sorry, Bill. Can't get into that room. Didn't get your key card swiped."
Anyways.
I
wasn't enraged.
Screw that Sid Gannis guy.
I thought that Tilda Swinton winning for Best Supporting Actress was but at least it wasn't Ruby Dee. I mean, I can't say I really argue with anything that happened.
Yeah, there really wasn't anything except for Transformers getting shut out.
Oh, my God.
Fucking what? Michael Bay haters. That's all I have to say.
Are we done?
Why can't we give Michael Bay... Why did that not win visual effects?
Well, I have to say, the polar bear fight was wicked cool in Golden Compass.
I would have almost understood if it was Pirates of the Caribbean, because there was way more visual effects.
No, I like
Golden Compass. Polar bears... There were fucking robots that transformed into cool cars and then into huge, giant robots that had death matches on the highway.
What is with the Bill Cosby
discussion? The shit.
There are robots and pudding pops.
What do they not understand about the fact that ILM made robots?
Okay, I got it.
Huge, giant fucking robots.
Okay.
God, I almost wanted to just...
Take your medicine. Take your pill, Neil.
You know what that proved to me? That obviously the Academy has no idea what is awesome. Because Michael Bay is awesome. And that's bullshit that he did not win something. I know he probably wasn't even there. It was like the guys from ILM.
They did have a picture of him in one of the montages.
He's in the director's thing. Like he's a part of the director's selection committee. Like that,
what the hell?
That nominate the best director?
Who the hell put Michael Bay?
I know. They like him enough to put him on the freaking committee, but they can't give him an Oscar for what he does best?
The closest he's going to get to an Oscar is if he guest stars on Sesame Street next to Oscar the Grouch.
No, his movie should have won one. That's the point.
He would have gotten the award.
But his
Or would they have had the ILM guys going up to accept it and it would have blown him up and gone, "Hey guys, douchebags, I get this Oscar." Picks up like all three and
what's the word for an Oscar? Awesome. Bingo. God, that pisses me off.
Neil, can I set you off again?
Marion and
Michael Bay. Transformers missed out on three Oscars.
I know. Well, I was
Born Ultimatum got him.
Born Ultimatum with the sound ones, I could give a royal shit less about the sound ones, right? But the visual effects one, the fact that it was the Golden Compass, you've got to be freaking kidding me. That is like, oh God, that's like Star Wars losing to like the Shawshank Redemption for visual effects, okay? You understand what I'm saying here?
I hear you.
Are you even paying attention?
I'm trying to find your
Transformers on DVD.
Don't. There's Tremors. Here you go.
On HD DVD. That's the version I prefer.
Like this. I got the Bourne Ultimatum the Bourne HD Ultimatum. DVD.
No.
Just taunting you.
If you get my Golden Compass screener, though, I will take a dump on that thing right now.
Oh, wow.
That's how just incensed I am over this whole shenanigans. No, that's so that people can't find them. I know where stuff's at, though. So that's all we really have to say. Transformers on HD DVD.
On a dead format HD DVD.
It's coming out on Blu-ray too. So I have both. I'll buy both. I will have every version of Transformers. If they come out with like a 12 disc special Michael Bay's awesome edition, I will buy that shit in a hurry. All right. I will be in line at the store.
I'm sorry. I'm reading the back of this DVD. Everything that you're going to get on the
all right. Blu-ray. So this will grab your attention back. So let's move on from the Oscars. Obviously, they're bullshit because Michael Bay didn't win. But Diablo Cody got nude. Not in the Oscars.
Pretty close with that dress.
But some nude pictures of Diablo Cody. First of all, I saw a reaction from her on her MySpace blog because we're friends on MySpace.
Considering that she took pictures.
She's like, I put them online. Like, I don't care, you know? And I think that's cool in the sense that she's not upset about it. It's so what? She used to be a stripper.
All those pictures, it's not like they were like candids of her and a boyfriend. They were totally taken. Some were taken with webcams. I mean, these are not things that you do if you want to be demure about it.
Right.
She had practically a crotchless dress at the Oscars with like 200 countries watching and a devil tattoo on her arm.
And she's not that. I think she's a cool chick.
I'd do her.
I definitely, she's
I totally would. If she were in a strip club, because you know I like the trashy girls.
You do.
I totally would have like dropped like $200 on lap dances. Totally.
Yep.
Because, and this is what I said, again, on Film School Rejects, I talk about this. She's pretty enough. She's attractive enough to like justify being up on the stage.
Right.
Because I've been to the club sometime, and you see girls, and you're just like, horse teeth, whatever. You know, and.
Can you make that sound effect again?
Sort of like a squealing car. And so she like justifies being there, but she's got that shtick of sort of the trashiness, but she's not so totally hot that she's just like, hi, look at my boobs and give me a $10 bill.
Yep.
You know?
She's a girl that probably knew how to work for her. She knows money. How to, but I tell you what, she deserved that Oscar because it was a great script. She worked very hard for it. And you know, no nude pictures are going to take that away from her.
No,
she wrote an awesome script.
Well, and she's lying. There's the one of her with the holding like drunk in bed the next morning with the Oscar. Which I want to know where that Oscar went.
Oh man, because we all know where. If you ever won one, or if I ever, especially
if you ever won one, I'd put it up my butt, and I wouldn't tell you about it until like days later when you're like, "Why does my Oscar smell so bad?" But if it was mine, I'd keep it in a Kevlar case that you couldn't get your butt anywhere near it.
Nice. Well, with that, I think it is time to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to do some DVDs. We're going to wrap you up and send you off into the wild.
Awesome.
And we're about to wrap you up on Fat Guys at the Movies. But before we get to that, it's time to do a little DVD roundup with our awesome, awesome sound effects.
I'm going to get a job on Michael Bay's next movie doing sound effects. It'll be awesome.
It will be
awesome. You want to hear my Michael Bay explosion?
Yeah. Awesome.
I knocked my glasses off.
I'll go first. I've got two picks.
No, I want to go first.
All right, fine.
No, you go first.
All right, fine. I've got two picks this week. The first one is 30 Days of Night. It's on both standard DVD and Blu-ray. Fantastic film. Made my top 10 last year.
And you are a big pansy.
Huge pansy. And this is a very intense film. So I will say best vampire movie I've ever seen.
Well, you've only seen like three.
Out of the three that I've seen, this is the best one.
Well, this is. I just want to say one thing about this movie.
Oh, geez.
That I think I mentioned this when we reviewed it.
Right.
One of my favorite parts in the movie was the little girl that turns into a vampire, and we won't go into that.
Right.
What exactly happens, but
it's just
it gets really ugly.
Right.
Just put it that way.
It goes to a place that you just don't ever see movies like that going.
Yeah, and it was funny because they did a press screening of this weird, oddly enough, in the morning, and it was like you and me and this guy from You Weekly,
Colin,
and this woman from a website called kinsandmind.com.
Yeah, Lori.
Lori Pearson.
She's really nice.
She also works for critics.com. She's a great girl, great woman. You know, woman. I don't want to offend her, but she will like rate movies for kids. If you go to kinsandmind.com. Yeah. You can go there and it says this is how much sex it has, this is how much violence, this is how much, you know, inappropriate use or whatever.
It's like a way better version of the MPAA.
Yeah, and it really breaks it all down for you. Right. And it's also good to go if you want to say, does this have any nudity in it? Lori will let you know how much nakedness
like
is in
the reverse of Mr. Skin. Exactly. But it accomplishes the same thing.
But you can still use it for the same reason. And so this is like really just incredibly intense scene happens, and it's just like, and then it's like dead silence from the movie, and I go, Did you get that, Lori? Because she goes and she has to make these copious notes of there are 17 decapitations and, you know, 47 legs being chopped off, 48 gallons of blood, you know, or whatever.
Right. So, yeah, this was a tough one for her to write notes.
Well, apparently she's told me once that those are the most popular movies that get viewed. I mean,
because it's always like the teenage kids that want to go see it, and I bet you the parents
go to the site.
What is this?
Yeah,
movie?
Like if they
30
were
Days of Night doesn't sound that bad.
Yeah,
you know, it's not Heads Hit the Floor. I mean, if the title of the movie was Heads Hit the Floor,
yeah,
people would be like, oh yeah, I get that.
Gallons of blood days of night pouring out of anything. Severed wounds. Yeah, yep. You know, something like. But like if. Like 101 Dalmatians releases on DVD next week, no one's going to sit there and go, oh, does 101 Dalmatians have any nudity in it? I mean, well, the dogs are naked, and that's about it.
I mean,
you know, hey, but
that's why I watch it.
Yeah. So she says the huge demand are for movies.
Yep. And my second pick of the week is Death at a Funeral
with Peter Dinklage.
Has Peter Dinklage and a very nude Alan Tudyk.
Yes.
Running around completely stoned. Through the whole movie, it's very funny. It's
a
that
cute movie.
It's that dry British humor that, you know, some people just don't get. Like people that didn't think Hot Fuzz was funny won't think this is funny either. But this is less over the top and more snarky intelligent and very very dark. I loved it. So
that was a good movie. I wouldn't say I loved it, but it was good.
Go ahead with yours.
All right, my first one. I'm going to give you my top pick, being the Darjeeling Limited, which is Wes Anderson's latest film. Got completely ignored in award season. It got completely ignored.
Yeah. We're giving away copies on Film School Regions.
I signed up for it because Fox hasn't sent me one yet. Nice.
I signed up for it too. Maybe we'll win.
But
I don't know. We'll have to bribe somebody.
The Darjeeling Limited, they didn't even promote this as an Oscar film or awards,
and
which
totally
irritated.
Could have been.
It's an awesome movie. Yeah. So it's really good. Wes Anderson is telling the story of three brothers who are trying to reconcile, and they go on a cross country trip over India.
Yeah.
And this one's out on DVD. Might want to also wait for the Criterion Collection for a bigger release. There's not a whole lot of special features on this.
So
my other one, The Justice League, The New Frontier, which is an animated film directed DVD, but it's in the tradition of Superman Doomsday, if you've seen it. That was rated PG-13. This is rated PG-13.
And it's going to be way better than the Justice League movie that George Miller is making.
Yeah.
That one's going to be a huge steaming turd.
Yeah, it's going to be bad. And
let's face facts.
But this one, you know, the animated films just kick butt all over the live action stuff. And they do stuff with Green Lantern and Martian Manhunter.
Right.
Old school Justice League. Awesome movie.
Very
and
cool.
And tons of cool stuff on
there. And the last DVD that goes, that needs to be mentioned this week, just do it.
Beowulf
is out on HD DVD and standard DVD. So if you have one of those HD DVD players, dead format, like I do, you can get Beowulf. Actually, I got Beowulf and I just gave it to Brian because I was like, I just can't handle it.
Yeah. If you want to hear Ray Winstone declare that he is Beowulf over and over and over again,
just watch the menu music.
Exactly.
So wrapping up our reviews this week, we'll run from the top, The Other Boleyn Girl, Kevin.
Kind of rocks.
Diary of the Dead, neither one of us saw. Kevin thinks it might be good. They didn't screen it, so preemptive suck based on principle.
Absolutely.
Semi-pro, you said?
Kind of rocks. I can't remember what I said.
We both said rocks. Okay. I think it totally rocks. And Penelope, I think we both agree.
I'm actually doing well. The February movies I've been kind of liking.
It's really been a surprising February, I think. And
I
think
that they showed us half of them.
If you need a cute family movie or a date movie, go see Penelope. If you want a sexy movie and a funky movie, go see Semi-Pro.
Yes.
And if you're a Will Ferrell fan, you can go see Semi-Pro and you will not be disappointed.
Or if you want to see Scarlett Johansson and
The Other Boleyn Girl in a Jerry Springer.
In a Jerry
Old
Springer
Testament
thing with
Jerry
Natalie
Springer
Paul.
Almost. So next week, I will be gone, but you will have a guest.
I believe it's going to be Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
From nightsandweekends.com, and you'll be reviewing 10,000 BC, College Road Trip with Raven.
I'm going to make Kristen do
so. Yeah, and The Bank Job with Jason Statham. So if you'd like to get us on fatguysatthemovies.com. Email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can also get us on iTunes. That's all I have to say, Kevin. Adios.
Hey.
Get the funk out of my face. Get the funk.